Welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning how to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam Deeks, and I'm learning to be a glider pilot in Devon, a small green county at the southwestern end of the British Isles. The Glider Show is about my journey to learn to fly, and as we approach the one-year mark, I've realised that the whole process can be quite slow and challenging when you have to juggle several variables in order to be able to get to the gliding club and fly. These variables include the time available, differing demands from work, fluctuating levels of motivation, and of course, that most variable variable of them all, the Great British weather. Now, I'll be discussing these challenges later on in the show with the hope of giving newcomers an insight into how to plan a more realistic approach to gliding. These things have all conspired to mean that I've flown just once in the last month. So I've had to stop and take a long, hard look at what I want to achieve in gliding and how I'm realistically going to get there. In this show, I succeed in promoting the Glider Show in the real world for the first time by featuring on someone else's podcast and putting a little flyer up at the club. I get a few minutes at the controls of the sleek and lovely DG505, but manage to delete the audio the following day. I get lined up to take my mum flying as a special treat, but end up getting misted in and sorting out some membership misunderstandings instead. I review my first year involved in gliding and make some plans for myself and for the podcast for the coming year. And I get amazed by a gliding app for the iPhone. Now, at this point, I would normally bring you some gliding news from the great big world of Google. But since the last show, Son of Flubber emailed to say that, in his view, the roundup of nasty accidents from around the world didn't add any value to the show, and he felt that it would be better to do without it. What Son of Flubber did suggest, if I was going to report accidents, rather than reporting individual ones, there are interesting points to be made about various trends. This is true, and it feels to me like it would form the basis for the safety section of the show rather than the news section, but it's still a good idea and worth looking into. So first of all, I decided a few weeks ago that as I was approaching my first complete year of gliding and publishing The Glider Show, it would be a good idea to start taking some steps to promote the podcast. A good way of doing this, I've found over the last year, is by using Twitter, because it's free, very fast, to the point, and highly targeted. And by that, I mean that I'm following 300 or so people who, as far as their profiles show, are involved with gliding in one way or another, or perhaps with general aviation. Now, of those 300 or so, about 180 or so are following me back, and many of them will at some point probably listen to the podcast. Twitter is also good because you can strike up real-time conversations with people interested in gliding. One of those I got into conversation with is Peter Johnson, and he's one of three presenters of the Aviation Extended audio podcast. Aviation Extended is a wide-ranging general aviation podcast that runs to, on average, about an hour and a half running time. Unlike The Glider Show, Aviation Extended is recorded live with three co-presenters and sometimes guests, all interacting with each other, and it gives it a really natural feel. A couple of months ago, Peter asked if I'd like to do an interview about gliding for their show, and I agreed. We did an interview a few weeks ago, and it was good fun. This is a short extract. The whole interview itself was about 20 minutes long.
Now look at your altimeter. See, you know, we're steadily actually painting ourselves into a corner. Okay, so I would make your turn soon so you can monitor what he's doing, and because you're either going to have to land beyond him or before him. More complicated situation, isn't it?
Sam, welcome to Extended.
Thanks, Peter.
Let's talk about the Glider Show. It's really unique. I love it. I genuinely enjoy listening to hearing you going through the process. But you take the listener in with you. You take them into your lessons. Sometimes you're on the launch. Sometimes you're in a briefing. But also, we get to hear you actually doing your flying training. Why did you decide on this sort of approach for the program?
I think there's a couple of reasons, really, Peter. One is that I've always, as a hobby and as a passion of mine, I've been recording environmental or ambient audio for years, since the early 80s, actually, you know,
right, okay.
Ancient tape recorders and, you know, cumbersome devices. So, but I did it because I love the kind of virtual space that location audio can create.
Yeah.
So when you can put on a set of headphones and you can hear somebody recording a location sound, you can really you can close your eyes literally and feel like you're there. So it's a natural thing for me to use that to convey the feeling of doing something like learning to glide. And I suppose the other thing is when I was researching, I remember sitting on a train going to London to work, and I kind of researched for about 3 hours solid on my iPhone when I first thought about doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And the first thing I found out was that there were no dedicated gliding podcasts. And the only one that nearly fell into that category was a very expert one for quite advanced pilots, but it was predominantly conversational, you know, Skype conversations about very technical matters.
Right. Okay.
And I thought, you know, for newcomers who want to get a sense of, you know, what it feels like, the three-dimensional thrill, I thought there's, you know, there's nothing out there for them to get a sense of it. And so I wanted to give people a feel of the totality of it.
Now, there are quite a few other interesting people that I've connected with on Twitter who I'd like to do interviews with. So we'll see as we go into the next year what happens. Now, this month, I also decided to print out a small flyer for the podcast and put it up in the notice board of my gliding club, having first asked permission, of course. Now, I have to be realistic and keep in mind that the people passing the notice board are mostly above 65 years of age, and so it's unlikely that they've ever listened to a podcast or would really know what to do with one. There's one reason why the Glider Show will probably always have relatively small audiences. So anyway, those are two small steps towards promoting the show, and I'll be thinking of other ways to do this throughout the coming year. One of these might be to send out a promo leaflet to all UK gliding clubs and invite them to put it up on their notice boards in exchange for a free club profile on the show. Now, my only flying this month was one quick flight in a DG-505. The wrong aircraft, the wrong time of day, and the wrong instructor, a wise old hand remarked later, and he was right. Not the fault of the club, but this is a really good example of some of those many variables coming together in the wrong order to produce a less than satisfactory experience. Now, I had turned up late in the morning and got last onto the flying list, which is what you'd expect. Now, I wouldn't have been surprised not to fly at all, but in the end, I did get one chance at a circuit in the 505. Because this was a weekend and subject to the usual rota of instructors, and that's another of those variables, it meant that I flew with an instructor that I hadn't met or flown with before. He'd obviously been flying all day, and there I was, last on the list, in a hurry to fly, and with no time to work through between us what I could do or what I wanted to learn. The result was what I felt was a pretty crap flight. I flew the launch, taking far too long to rotate at the cost of final height, having been warned to resist the 505's tendency to rotate too early, and once off the wire, I noodled about without a plan and certainly without any confidence. I was safe to a degree, but I was indecisive and needed a last-second tug on the stick to correct what the instructor thought was a tardy roundout. Now, the audio recording of that flight captured a resounding silence once on the ground, which is unusual for me. So I know just how bad I was feeling about the performance. And thankfully, I seem to have lost the audio, or 4.5 minutes of it, so it's history. Well, we had my mum come down to visit us in Devon last weekend, and the plan was to take her up to the gliding club and, weather permitting, of course, get her a flight or two. She'd flown a couple of times, maybe 30 years ago, and really loved it. I remember her saying that her idea of heaven was being 8,000 feet up in the air with her brand new Sony Walkman playing Pink Floyd tapes at full blast. The weather forecast all week had led me to expect cloud, but not rain, and we left the house on Saturday in a light drizzle.
I'll embarrass myself.
This is me and my mum.
Fighting
in the car. Heading out, actually, on a very grey, rainy, drizzly day.
Misty.
It's quite warm, but we're heading heading up to the airfield with some idea that you're going to get a flight today, an aero tow and a winch launch. And it's all a bit confused because I discovered a couple of days ago, after having arranged this months ago, and I discovered that apparently I'm no longer a member of the club and you're not entitled to fly, and it's all a bit messed up.
That suits me fine today.
Anyway,
I'm trying not to be
defeatist.
Defeatist. So we're going to head up there in the rain and
and the mist and the drizzle. But I don't care what Sammy says; it's bloody cold.
That's not. It's about
18 degrees. Yes, because he read it in BBC.
14, it says on my car here. Anyway, we've got a knackered shock absorber, but that won't affect anything. So the idea, the idea of this is what I want to do is I want to stick this recording thing, either if I get to fly, I want to stick it on mine, but also in yours. It's not going to, no, you don't have to appear in the podcast. It's okay.
It doesn't matter. It embarrassed me to listen to myself whinging.
That's right. You don't have to. All right, I'll put the camera on you.
That's camera's
audio,
fine.
Camera on you, audio on me. Right.
You're not going to be in the same glider.
No, not in the same glider, but if I go. But that's if I don't get rejected at the gate because I'm not a member. Right, see how it goes.
I wouldn't want to be a member of a club I wasn't a member of.
So we're out here on the airfield, and it's still misted in, so it's absolutely not flying time. But
what
there
time is it, by the way?
It's 11:45, so we might
nuts.
As well have got up at 11.
And
we're also currently last on the flying list somehow. I don't know how we managed that, but...
Because we were here one of the first.
Well, that means we have to stick it out. So the launch vehicle was in the hangar, and Mark just said to me, go and put our names on the flying list. And I go there and I find that there's already everybody in existence has put the name on
Did
it.
Did you put an unhappy face by the side of your name?
No, but I put my names on there, and it just means that if we're going to fly at all, it'll be late in the day.
Oh, fine.
So we'll just have to bear it out. We can go and talk to the sheep up there. It's now 12:15. About 100 guys over there are putting together Puchaz glider from some visitors who brought it up with them. But realistically, it's hopeful. The sky above looks brightening.
It could burn off.
It could burn off, but it's still there's still a fine mist and the cloud base is sort of 0 feet. So my concern, I was just talking about there, was even if the cloud base burns off in the next hour or two, we've still got a full flying list at which we're at the bottom of. So we probably won't get a chance, sadly. I mean, the only outcome for me is I sorted out a bit of a confusion and...
Well, that's not the only outcome. I think that was interesting, that talk.
Yeah, no, it's just a shame that we didn't fly. Yes or no?
Yes.
Don't crash it, for goodness sake.
There was no pressure.
Well, like these bouncy jobs you're used to at the moment.
You should always
be careful of the trim on it, because the batteries aren't the same, the trim changes a bit.
Take off into the tree.
What was it, deer again? I don't know.
I don't think it flies quite as well with that battery because it's not quite as heavy. I think it likes the weight actually. Yeah. That cloud base has come down a bit, isn't it?
Okay. It's easier away from gliders and aircraft and stuff.
It's easier than the vampire to stand behind the caravan. That's easier actually.
But the sweat wings. Yeah. And the very big tail fin, it's the fins. Oh, I know. I'm going to say one word, Rammstein.
Oh.
That was hideous, wasn't it?
Air show disaster. Or a death metal band, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah, the whole thing. And there's one looping board.
Now, even though we didn't fly, the trip wasn't a complete waste of time, because I was able to clear up a hefty misunderstanding about my membership and to offer my help to make sure it didn't happen again. This club is keen to learn from its mistakes, and that really plays a big part in keeping me engaged and on board. So that brings me to review my first year in gliding. Here we are, staring winter in the face again, and not only haven't I gone solo, I think I'm probably further from it than I thought I was 6 months ago. If I had stayed at my first club, I might well have continued with the same intensity of training that would have seen me go solo by the end of the summer. Membership of that club tied down a couple of the variables that I've been talking about. So first of all, it was very close, meaning I could go more often and shift my days around more easily. Secondly, the instructors pretty much stayed the same weekend after weekend because it was a much smaller club, and also that it was running a form of one-day club course training format that limited the number of pupils to each course instructor. And that means literally you get more flights in per day at the field. Unfortunately, I didn't get on with some of the other variables there. For example, the culture and the equipment and facilities, and I made the decision to move. Now, going to a larger club means access to better aircraft, more varied experiences, and more people to learn from, but it does bring with it other variables, shifting rotors, longer journeys, longer flying lists, and so on. So it's a swings and roundabout situation. So here are some of the lessons I learned in my first year of gliding. First of all, gliding is member-run, so you have to get involved. You can't just turn up and fly. This means that you have to mix in with a lot of people who you might not naturally have a rapport with. And because it's member-run, there will be inefficiencies and sometimes petty politics, and you're going to have to expect it, but don't accept rudeness or unhelpfulness. That doesn't have to be a part of your experience. Be realistic about how much time you've got to commit to learning to fly. The more variables at work in your life, the less you're going to fly and the less you're going to learn. It's as simple as that. The things I call variables include your work demands, the amount of time you literally have available, your level of motivation at any moment, whether you have money or not, the quality of communication and the welcome at your club, the distance you've got to travel to get there, a lack of goals, the consistency of instructors, whether you get the same one week after week, different aircraft availability, and the good old British weather. Now, all these and more will conspire to make flying and progressing either impossible or at least hard. Communication is more or less crap. Gliding has never been a viable business, at least not yet, so don't approach it with the same expectations that you're used to in business or the other areas of your life. Like all enthusiasts focused on a narrow field of interest, glider pilots, club members, and enthusiasts tend to suffer from that inability to see things from the newcomer's point of view or the outsider's point of view, and often expect you to know what's happening without it needing to be said or explained. Now, this can be really infuriating, and it contributes quite a bit, in my view, to people getting put off in the first few months of gliding. I think this needs to change if gliding wants to attract and keep more people. Set yourself some kind of goals, even if you're not the goal-setting kind of person like me. Now, broadly speaking, the path of progress in gliding is mapped out in a series of achievement levels, but these alone aren't enough to pull you through the tougher times. You need to set yourself some personal goals for the year ahead that are based on realistic assessment of how much time and energy you're going to have and be able to commit to gliding. Make some of these goals independent of the club and the weather. For example, things you can find out about, places you can visit, and so on. Find an instructor you get on with to be your mentor. Now, most clubs operate a weekend rota, and this is going to change all the time. If you can only make weekends for your gliding, then the chances are that you're going to meet a lot of different instructors. My advice would be to find one or two that you feel really comfortable with and try to enlist them as your mentors, even if they're blissfully unaware of it. Try to make your time at the club coincide with theirs and ask for their advice on your progress. If it's not working, stop for a minute and rethink. Be willing to admit when it's not working out for you, either at the club you're at or with the way you're approaching your learning. At the end of this first year of gliding, I've come to the conclusion that there are too many variables conspiring together to make it difficult for me to fly often enough to learn. Maybe you're not like that. Perhaps you'll spend every weekend at the airfield, rain or shine, soaking up gliding knowledge. Now, for me, I'm balancing work, spending time with my partner and kids, with going gliding. And the result, when you factor the British weather in, is that I end up getting perhaps two or three flights every 3 weeks. And like I said earlier, it's really not enough. The year ahead for gliding. Well, first of all, I've decided to keep on gliding for the coming year. And that means joining Devon and Somerset Gliding Club for a complete year as a full member. I'm also hoping they put in place the regular one-day course concept that works so well down at Dartmoor Gliding Society, which would make it more likely that I would turn up rain or shine once every 2 weeks to make the most of my learning. Now, on top of that, I'm committing to doing an intensive week or two's gliding this year. One of these may be a week away with the Devon and Somerset Gliding Club people up at Port Moke in Scotland next April. Another might be even going overseas to do an intensive week's training somewhere warm and pleasant. Either way, it's recognition that I need more regular flying and more intensive flying in order to make progress. And I'm also going to get involved in the club itself a bit more, to offer my skills to help improve things where I can, and try to build on some of the real strengths they have there. So what's a year ahead for the podcast? Well, I figure that it's worth keeping the Glider Show podcast going. I'm hoping to try out a few different things, including inviting clubs around the country and beyond to do an interview, a sort of club profile that can help newcomers to the sport find out a bit more about each club. I'd like to get more contributors from further afield and to do more interviews with people who have interesting and helpful points of view about the early stages of the newcomer's learning experience. And beyond this episode of the show, I think I'd like to publish a bit more regularly, i.e. dependably every 2 weeks, whether or not I've got flight audio to present. Extreme Soaring 3D for the iPhone. So how many of you have heard about Extreme Soaring 3D gliding app for the iPhone? Well, I hadn't until a couple of weeks ago, and then I saw a link for it on Twitter, I think, and something made me pay the £2 or £3 to give it a go. Put my headphones on and selected a K21 glider, and pretty soon was being pulled up on my very first handheld winch launch. Pretty good when you think that it's running on a phone. Just like in Condor, you can throw a switch and make the thermals visible as red columns rising from the ground. If only it was like that in real life. The views are pretty amazing and easily controlled. You can swipe the screen to look in any direction, and you can pinch it to zoom in and out of the instruments to see their readings more clearly. The elevator and ailerons are controlled by tilting the phone side to side or forward and backwards, and the rudder pedals are a sliding button on screen. There are tiny on-screen buttons for the cable release, for the spoilers, and for the trim. I've not yet got into anything more than the free flight option, but I have to say I'm very impressed. I'd say it's well worth a try. So search the iTunes store for Soaring 3D app, and you shouldn't have any problem finding it. I'll include some screenshots from the game in the show notes. Comms. Well, the Glider Show has some new Twitter followers. Warm welcome to the following. At Podcast of the Day. At Aphion Glynn, at RedFev1, at A Pilot's Eye, at Daniel T. Johns, why do I say at every time? I'll just leave that bit off. PCDU, that's Plain Crazy Down Under, Australian Aviation Podcast. Emil Benny 96, Aero Controller. OLC Local Master, Japan. Simon Minson, Undra, Rasp Weather. PPCS Official, Ben Edwards Webb. The BMAA UK, British Microlight Aircraft Association, who are the guys putting on the upcoming aviation show, The Flying GoPro, Gobes, and Ace Abbott. Now, in emails, this is a bit old now, so do apologise. Effion sent me this one. He said, "Hi, Sam, a quick note to say thanks for your excellent podcast. I've enjoyed listening to it and have just caught up with all the episodes in time for a trial day with Oxford Gliding Club coming up this Sunday." Now, that's about a month ago now. Listening to the podcast, particularly the in-cockpit audio, means I'll have a much better idea of what's going on, and I am sure it will help me get the most out of my day. I've done a bit of gliding some decades ago with the Air Cadets, and flying's always been a dream of mine. I play flight simulators and fly model aircraft, but I've got to the point where nothing will scratch that itch, except getting up in the sky myself. Following your journey through your training has inspired me to get up and do something about it. If not now, then when? I'm doing a trial day just to check that I'm not suddenly frightened by the whole thing. I was fine at 14, now at 36, however, my reaction may have changed, but I doubt it somehow. Assuming being hauled 1,000 feet in the air, feet first, at 45 degrees doesn't scare the bejesus out of me, I fully intend to join the Loka Club and start my journey to solo. Thanks again for all your time and effort putting the podcast together, and I wish you clear skies, booming thermals and tailwinds. Evion, you're welcome. I hope your day at Oxford Gliding Club went well. Interested to hear how you got on and whether you've carried on with your intention to take up gliding. I had a nice chat at our club with a trainee pilot like myself, one Mr. Richard Davies. We discussed the various challenges that we faced as pre-solo pilots of a certain age, and it was very reassuring to find out that I certainly wasn't alone in having difficulty finding a way of learning that worked for me. Richard later emailed me some ideas about getting the most out of our time at the club. One of these was, if you're able to reschedule your working week so that you can make either Wednesday or Thursday your regular flying day, then you're likely to gain continuity with one of the two instructors, whereas the weekend instructing is run as a rota of many instructors with the different duty instructors in the morning and afternoon. This can be very useful as an adjunct to your main flying, since different instructors provide different input and put you in different situations. But it's probably hard to make progress when always switching from one instructor to another and never having the same one as you had recently. The problem is, the different instructors on the weekend rota, once every 3 weeks or so, is my main flying. Pat in Adelaide picked up on my frustration from a Skype video message which I left him. He says, I watched and listened with intent to your video message last night, and both in what you said and reading your body language, I could detect frustration, and, oh, did I mention frustration? Well, if it's any consolation, I've been there, and I think we've all been there at some stage in a flying career. My advice to you is this. Try and find a mentor within the sport who will literally take you under their wing. You need to develop a relationship with this person and confide in them your gliding fears, frustrations, and joys. Pat says, you need to be critical of each flight and keep a personal diary of what you did well and what didn't pan out so well, with a view to improving on your failings next time. Practice does indeed make perfect. It's the old plan, do, check, act, and review mentality. Believe me, it does work. Thank you for your advice, Pat, and I look forward to hearing your interviews with Bernard Ecke, author of that lovely copy of Advanced Soaring Made Easy, 3rd edition, that you sent me. Now that's all for this episode of The Glider Show. This is your host, Sam Deeks, coming to you from a car in the windy Devon countryside, saying thank you for taking the time to listen and to offer your feedback about what you think works and what doesn't. I'm always keen to feature more people in the show, so if you fancy yourself as a roving reporter or a Glider Show correspondent from a far-flung or even a near-flung location, then get in touch and let's see what we can do. I'm always interested in talking face-to-face or over Skype about any aspects of learning to glide that you have an interesting experience about or a point of view on. In particular, I'd like to hear some of those what got me into gliding or my most memorable flight ever stories. The quickest way to get in touch with me here at The Glider Show is to send me a tweet on Twitter. My ID is @UKGlider, that's the @ symbol followed by UKGlider with no spaces between them. If you're not a compulsive tweeter, then you can just as easily get me via email. Send to ukglider@hotmail.com. This is also the place to send in audio files and pictures. And finally, if neither of those ways suits you, you can just drop by and say hello on the Glider Show Facebook page. You just have to go to Facebook and search for the Glider Show, and then share something on the wall there. Meanwhile, remember to take the time to stop and evaluate where you're at with your learning to glide. And if it's not working for you the way you're currently doing it, then do something differently. Fly safe.